What do you think about the AFL's response more broadly? The chair of the board, the appeals board, has now been sacked. Do you think that their response has been adequate, appropriate?
I think the AFL does a wonderful job in many things. And, you know, I've also been someone that's criticised certain aspects of the AFL and head office. But in this case, certainly, and in my experience of coming out, you know, there have been certain members within the executive team and AFL house that have just been exceptional in their support and in their leadership. And in terms of Andrew Dillon's leadership, and I know there is others, I came away from last week and Friday, and even just the response, the statement from Andrew Dillon in the AFL condemning those reasons, then the chairperson being sacked the next day on the Saturday, I was like, thank you for your leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come out and say zero tolerance, you have to mean it.
Mitch, we've talked about the toll that this takes on people like yourself, players who have not come out. What are the biggest barriers to creating a safe environment, as you put it, a genuinely inclusive game?
There's a lot of factors, right? It is like, imagine sitting there, and I have sat in a place in the locker room as an active player and a closet active player, and you can't talk to anyone, right? You don't dare talk to anyone. So you're making all these conversations and debating with yourself inside your own head. And you can create fear when there's no fear. So there's a lot of factors. But one of the biggest factors, even since I've come out and I've noticed even the way my story is being told, is safe storytelling. And what I mean by that is, yeah, I think a locker room and a football club might be safe. And yeah, I think teammates would support you and wrap their arms around you. But it's that fear of how you would be portrayed
publicly.
That is a huge factor, right?
By the media,
by the community, and the community feed off that, good, bad, and ugly. And that's where there's, you know, there's strength in safe storytelling, but there's also a huge amount of fear and weakness in, you know, storytelling that creates so much, you know, harmful behaviors and because of what you hear and what you think a certain way. And, you know, what I've experienced too is like when you start talking about sexuality and your identity, more often than not, people want to delve straight into the bedroom.
Mm.
And that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. And like those type of things, those safe storytelling aspects, I think is one of the biggest barriers.
So what has to happen now?
Well, I think we keep having these important conversations and, you know, just like we saw last week with the reaction against these comments, I think we are unifying in a way and we are taking the right steps to going, no, this is not acceptable. I love the fact that Lee Ristwick, the first gay player to come out, past or present, you know, I love that he felt the space to and the safety to do that. And, you know, their visibility matters, representation matters. So going back on to like, there, you know, I felt like we took a step backwards, but then what happens is when you have strong leadership and you have strong voices, you regroup and you group much stronger and more progress is made when there is times of you feel like it's going backwards. So what we do now, I think we keep going. We keep having uncomfortable conversation. We keep challenging in particular men's views on the game, men's roles and how they contribute to harmful behaviours that pave the way for these homophobic slurs and all these incidents that are on the field and they come across in the most casual way. So I think we keep doing what we're doing. And for certainly for me, I consistently get told to go back into the box, to shut up.
By who?
Every single day. You know, I notice anyone that speaks up against the norm or especially against something that's embedded into the game and what it means to be a top footballer. When you speak against that, it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And even if we do find it okay to listen to that person for a little bit, if they keep talking, if they keep making you feel uncomfortable, then we're quickly to go, well, Han, can you shut up now? So from people online, from a lot of people to say, hey, Miss, don't you think you've had enough now? Don't you think you've had enough? Yeah, there's too many people, and it doesn't have to be a lot for this to actually matter, but there's too many people for me to not go back into that box.
Well, Mitch Brown, we really appreciate you joining us. Thank you for your honesty and your raw responses.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Noor.
That was former AFL player Mitch Brown. You can read his piece about the AFL Appeals Board's decision on theguardian.com, and we've also linked to it on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, who also did the sound design and mix. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.